Hello and welcome to the Doc Talk Podcast. I'm Kenny Walter, Assistant Managing Editor of ACP Live. Depression and gut bacteria disruption can go hand in hand. Oftentimes, patients with major depressive disorder also have poor diets, which in turn leads to disruptions and inflammation in the gut. The importance of diet cannot be overstated in not only treating and avoiding diseases like inflammatory bowel disease and irritable bowel syndrome, but also helping with different psychiatric disorders. One promising option for this patient population is human milk oligosaccharides. For this episode of Doc Talk, I am joined by Dr. Ardith Morrow of the Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Dr. Morrow is the director of the Center for Interdisciplinary Research in Human Milk and Lactation. Dr. Morrow has led research in HMOs and how they can be used in patients with psychiatric disorders, namely autism spectrum disorder. In our conversation, Dr. Morrow discussed this promising research and what is needed in the future to better promote and utilize HMOs in this patient population. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Dr. Morrow. I guess to start things off, obviously you looked at identifying gut disruptions in patients with major depressive disorder. How early can you observe these disruptions? If, say, a teenager is diagnosed with depressions, will those disruptions be visible, be able to be identified, or is it something that maybe later on in life it's more prevalent?
So I think you're getting at causality, and really an important thing to understand is really a timeline of events. And I want to say, Kenny, that I think the research on this is still somewhat open, because as you saw from this one paper that we were kind of brought together to discuss by Chin and others, it was done in Finland, it is a large cross-sectional study. So that doesn't answer the question of how soon would you actually see this. So that gets to the idea of, chicken and the egg. Is it that the fact of having a major depressive disorder would cause you to eat differently, for example? And then you would go on to, manifest gut disruption, and that could still be important to you, but it might not be the thing that's causing. Or alternatively, it's really contributory to the early, development of it. So I would just really have to say I'm trained as an epidemiologist and very clear about timeline and life course, that we're still working on that. But there is evidence that from the beginning, for example, I work on maternal child cohorts, you can see some children whose gut microbiota colonization is so different from the others very early. A healthy gut microbiota in infancy would consist of bifidobacteria, and we're seeing the loss of bifidobacteria, unfortunately, and then would not be dominated by what we call gram-negative organisms. That includes Morganella as one of them, but more commonly some of the Enterobacteriaceae family, like E. coli or Klebsiella, really should never be dominated by these kinds of organisms, because they have such pathogenic inflammatory potential. But you do see children whose microbiota really is. And we have scarcely begun studying all this. It's been a revolution that's gone on since maybe about 2007. So maybe 14 years worth of work, but a lot of the studies are cross-sectional, meaning at a point in time. And that what we need are more studies that are longitudinal. So I can't really fully answer that, but I think either way, what we see is that the potential to improve mental health measures by strategies that involve modifying the microbiota. That's not saying it's, primarily causal. It's just saying it may be contributory.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yep. Now, obviously, you were looking at treating these patients with HMOs. Can you talk a little bit about HMOs, what the efficacy is,
Yeah,
what
really.
type of patient this would be prescribed for?
Right, no, exactly. So I am, just to be very clear, a human milk oligosaccharide researcher from long ago. And now it's a major focus of research in many groups worldwide. So it's got more and more traction. It is one of potentially several different solutions to a generally observed problem, which is that we have worldwide increasing disorders that are linked to the microbiota, and that these can affect the immune system. So we also have immune disorders like hyperinflammatory, autoimmune, allergy, these kinds of, variety of different kinds of autoimmune. And also increasing anxiety, depression, and some other kind of mental health things, including autism, although whether it's increasing or not is a little bit controversial. But recognizing that we have something we could call an epidemic worldwide that's linked to microbiota, we've got people searching for solutions, right, to improve how medicine and our own personal health activities might improve the situation or reduce our risk and improve our health. The reason why I've been focusing on human milk oligosaccharides is that this is a nature's own strategy from the get-go to start off well and to do a number of things that, when I look at the current epidemics of gut and brain and immune diseases, say this is what Mother Nature has already provided something to address in part. So, for example, human milk oligosaccharides help the growth of beneficial microbes. So, human milk-fed babies are more likely to have bifidobacteria. They're also less likely to have Clostridium difficile and other gram-negative organisms that we might, be concerned about, such as, the Enterobacteriaceae family that produce pathogens that can block the edge of those pathogens. So we've got two beneficial effects right off the bat with our human milk oligosaccharides. They change the metabolites in the gut. And for anybody who is familiar with exclusive breastfeeding babies, you know that even the feces smell different between a baby that's exclusively breastfed and not. But this is a metabolite effect that you produce beneficial metabolites, and some of those metabolites affect the gut, but they also go into circulation. And they can also directly affect the brain. And then these oligosaccharides are anti-inflammatory, and they affect different pathways of the immune system. So altogether, really, they've got multiple ways to help produce and sustain health over time. And it's the kind of thing that, by learning from nature, and this is where our best medications really have come from, learning from nature and then applying it in a situation where we have some human need later on or in some other circumstance. And so I see this as very relevant, these functions, to our current epidemics of gut, brain, and immune disorders. So I am not currently working on a major depressive disorder, but I am working on studies in children with autism, and in collaboration with a basic science colleague who's a psychologist at Indiana University, as Jeff Alberts. We have been looking at, for example, behaviors like autism, and anxiety. So, and seeing that it's been long observed that if you shift the microbiota because of antibiotics, you can have some real change in behavior of an animal, for example. And what we've also then done is try to see if you can change that behavior to a more positive one if you give oligosaccharide, and our preliminary studies are indicating that's the case. So we're excited about that, and for these reasons are really proceeding to work towards clinical trials. And I hope that kind of answers. You know, people who have gut disorders like irritable bowel syndrome or inflammatory bowel disease very often also suffer from brain health problems as well. Well, there's depression, anxiety. So this is really all linked together in many ways.
Funny, you you stole two of my questions.
I'm sorry, do it again and I'll just you make
I guess, yeah, you touched on this one. So you are studying the connections between gut bacteria and a couple psychiatric disorders. You mentioned anxiety, autism, depression. Anything else?
Well, not in my it's not in my own work, but I am, of course, following the literature in general about how this is developing. And since I've been a maternal child health researcher first, you know, before thinking about these oligosaccharides as novel therapeutics, what you see is that infants who are human milk fed actually have higher IQs. Their brain development is different. And so we're not trying to change that at older ages, but there are multiple pathways that these oligosaccharides can influence. And that I'm really interested in how we can link the oligosaccharides to different strategies for improving health outcomes at older ages. Interesting.
And I guess you touched on this as well as kind of like a supplemental treatment per se, both psychiatric disorders, some of them, and gut disorders.
Right.
Diet is important.
Absolutely.
For both classes of diseases.
Yeah.
How is it difficult? Because I think patients, when they get sick, they want medicine. They don't want to be told, you know, eat fruit.
Yeah, exactly. Vegetables.
Because that's a lifestyle change. It's easy to, you know, right, take a medicine for a couple of weeks. It's harder, right, to change how you're living your life. Is that difficult for patients to understand the importance of diet in you know, gut diseases?
No, I think that some people work very hard at it and succeed, but many, in fact, most, have a very hard time shifting. And I agree with you. You know, that there's increasing effort to try and find approaches to help people shift. And in the end, I think that's very important. We're such social creatures. We like to also eat what everybody else around us and how we, so that may take a lot of time. What we're working on with human milk oligosaccharide, I think, is really helpful, and it doesn't replace diet at all, but is the idea that as a dietary supplement and thinking of it as a medication, we could tailor what specifically is given in the right dose, and people can add it into their food, so it doesn't have to. So, for example, children with autism, they don't like anything that is looks different, feels different. But this is very slightly sweet and will not really change and could be added to whatever foods they already will eat. And then that's how we're approaching that. So I think it's a multi-pronged issue that we really should try to find the fundamentals of good health. But at the same time, looking for solutions that are more immediately manageable and can be thought of as medicine rather than lifestyle change, and try and do it all. You know, I don't see why not, really. That's probably what we need to do.
All right. Now, are there any groups of patients, demographics or anything, comorbidities where human milk oligosaccharides would not be an option for?
That's a good, an important question, always to be thoughtfully considered. I can tell you at the moment, I am not aware of any, just as understanding that babies receive this. There's been lots of safety testing in animals. There's, cases where adults with cancer have ordered milk from milk banks, trying to improve their gut health. I've known people who've managed to get oligosaccharide from different providers and taken it as adults and had immunocompromised situations, but they report feeling better. So I'm not aware of any adverse influences, but there could be potentially, and people could need to, be on the lookout for that as well, just like any other intervention that we do.
All right. And I guess a good way to close this out is what future research is still needed in this regard, either something that you're currently working on or something that maybe is not officially in the works, but you want to see research directed this way.
Well, for the whole field of the gut microbiome, what you're seeing are studies that are showing linkages, like the CHIN study in Nature that we were kind of alluding to. And other studies that are such as animal studies that may help trying to explain the mechanisms behind things. But what we're needing to move on to are clinical trials of potentially beneficial solutions. And that's really where I am hoping to go and working towards with clinical trials. In fact, right now there is a clinical trial ongoing that I'm part of that has to do with IBD and human milk oligosaccharide. So we haven't gotten far enough to be able to say anything about the results of that. But there are others, like a study that was done with IBS that was very promising. It was an open label study. That's not a randomized trial, but it was a good start as an initial idea. And that was very, looked effective. So we're now in a stage where trials are needed. If doctors or physicians are going to be able to prescribe, that's what we have to have. And that will test, including things like, are there any adverse effects, as well as the potential benefits. So.
I would like to thank Dr. Morrow for joining me for the fascinating conversation about gut inflammation and psychiatric disorders. As always, thank you for listening. For more news, please visit acplive.com and make sure you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I'm Kenny Walter. See you next time.